Football Friday.
We're going to build this thing one game at a time, one brick at a time, whether we win the next two or we don't.
Looks, lobs it left side for Tyreek Hill. He's got it. Touchdown, Kansas City. Santeo cuts. He gets to the 10. 5. Touchdown, CSU.
I'd like to see Teddy at least make a play at the guy.
Fonteno running it, and Fonteno breaks the play. Touchdown, Colorado.
Oh, my, what a play.
Now, here's Brady Hall.
6 minutes after the 1 o'clock hour, it is Football Friday on this 19th day of November. Very pumped you could be with us here talking all things football. And I know it's football, but I do got to say this. Rams pulled it off 66-60 over Bradley. They were down 27-21 at the half. Outscored the Braves 45-33, cleaned up the turnovers, and David Roddy kind of just went into beast mode. He had 7 points at the half, 30. He ended up with 30, 9 rebounds, 4 turnovers, but a lot of that was in the first. He got to the free throw line, 10 of 13. And you know what? We got the David Roddy show that we didn't do this week because, well, they're in St. Thomas. It's kind of hard. We'll get that back rolling next week thanks to Crazy Carl's Pizza in Fort Collins and Loveland. It'll be fun to talk to David Roddy about that. That was a nice win for the Rams. It was scary. The at-large stuff, you know, it can get spooky early on. This is when teams like Bradley can take advantage of teams that are projected to do very well. But if you're the Rams, you just got to settle down and you move on to the next round of this tournament. You go grab a fifth victory. So it's okay. It's all going to be all right. And they still got a very good chance to play the Buffs. The Buffs play tonight. Bunch of people complaining. Michael and I were looking desperately to see if we could get ESPN3 here. But ESPN3 was having technical difficulties. It was on ESPN Plus too, right? Or was it Plus?
Well, I have ESPN Plus, but I don't have like the golden ESPN Plus or whatever. And I don't have the golden Hulu. So I couldn't get it.
Now, so apparently even people that got it were having issues left and right. I was getting tweets and texts and stuff about, hey, they're having a lot of issues. Hopefully they get it right. I mean, we were forced to just put it on the GameCast stuff. But Colorado State gets the dub. They're 4-0. Our Power to Play sports poll question is up at thewholeshow.com. If the Buffs and the Rams meet in this tournament, the Paradise Jam, who you got? Who do you think is going to win this thing? And most of even Dempsey was like, yeah, I like the Buffs, but they got a lot of growing to do. It's a young group. Mark Johnson told us on Wednesday, the voice of the Buffs. I love it because he said, you don't know what you don't know. They haven't lost yet. So when you lose, that's when you learn a lot, right? At least most teams, unless you're Alabama or Georgia. You tend to learn a lot about yourselves when you do lose. In this case for the Rams, it's, you know, they beat Bradley, but it felt like it was going to be a rough loss there for a moment. So that kind of win, you're fortunate to pull it out, but then you also can take those lessons from it too. So we'll see. I mean, that was a completely uncharacteristic basketball game by Colorado State. I mean, look at their scores before that. Peru State, they win 88-62. Arkansas Pine Bluff, they win 91-71. Against Oral Roberts, they win 109-80. Today against Bradley, I mean, in St. Thomas, it's a morning game. You win 66-60. So sometimes those are just going to be weird games for you. So we'll see what the Rams can do for the rest of this Paradise Jam tournament. I really hope they play the Colorado Buffaloes. First Advantage text line 888-530-0043. The Broncos are on a bye this week, and boy, has there been a lot of stuff surrounding this Denver team because of the fumble. Isn't it amazing when you talk about a fumble? That play, and everything that followed it could be the defining moment for the Broncos. You could either take this thing and run with it, and Teddy is, you know, he galvanizes the team somehow because he does something crazy to show that he's a real leader out there. Or this team fizzles. And then we go back to that play. I'm telling you right now, I know a lot of people will disagree with me, but if the Broncos end up, you know, going, what, 6-11? 7-10? Or 7-10? Is that what it would be? Yeah, that's going to be tough for my brain to keep up with this 17-game schedule. You go 7-10, lose another, you know, have another playoff-less season. You don't think we're going to go back to that Eagles game and point to that fumble? And Melvin Gordon will be to blame for it as well. But you don't think we're going to at least go back to it and say, Gordon fumbles, Darius Slay runs it back, Bridgewater puts his head down, and that was kind of the season in a nutshell. They had an opportunity. They lose the opportunity. And they had the opportunity. They fumble the opportunity, and they don't remedy the situation by tackling Darius Slay. So what is next for Denver? They have their bye week. I think it's I don't think it comes at a good time necessarily. Some are like, hey, they need to get healthy or whatever, but you want to get back at it. But nonetheless, they're going to take the break. They're going to come back, and they're going to play the Chargers next week. And this is an AFC West that is tight, and that's why last week was, for so many reasons, was just so frustrating. The fact that you lose this game, because you'd be right in the thick of this thing. And the Chargers are going up against the Steelers this week. Who knows? Maybe they lose that game. But Denver, so here's what the West looks like right now as the Broncos head into the bye week. Surprise, surprise, Kansas City is right back on top. They are sitting at 6-4. The Chargers at 5-4. And the Raiders at 5-4, while the Broncos are at 5-5. So, I mean, it's very much in their power to not only make the playoffs, but to win a division. It's, I mean, 10 games in, this has been such a weird season. 10 games in, if I would have said at the beginning of the season the Broncos would be 5-5, 10 games in, I think most of Broncos country would have taken that. You guys would have been like, all right, we're 500, we got a shot to get in. Let's go, let's see what happens. The Raiders are going up against the Bills this week. They're coming off of two losses in a row, a bad loss to the Chiefs, and then they lose to the Giants. So, obviously, we're going to be watching these games as Broncos fans, hoping that some AFC West teams lose. The Bengals are a mixed bag. You never quite know what you're going to get there. I mean, they're 5-4. They lost their last two games, though, including losing to the Jets. Kansas City, meanwhile, going up against the Cowboys, that'll be interesting. Who knows? I mean, the Chiefs, it feels like they're starting to get it right. And then, as we mentioned, the Chargers have the Steelers. So hopefully a lot of things happen and really jumble up this division so that you set up a heck of an opportunity for Denver against the Chargers. I'll tell you what, folks, this is at home for Denver on the, what's the date? On the 28th. There is still an opportunity for Denver to do this thing. But it's, like I said, I said this a lot, it feels like they're 3-7, not necessarily 5-5. But that being said, the game's right in front of them. All you got to do is find a way to beat the Chargers. Then you're at the Chiefs. It's going to be tough, but you've given yourself a win. If you can get 6-4, you put your, who knows what happens this weekend, you put yourself in the thick of this thing. I was thinking about it. Astonishing. QBs are allowed to tackle. See Mac Jones. Mac Jones doesn't just tackle. He rips legs off, man. Although they came back and said that he thought the guy had the ball. So no harm, no foul. But yeah, you saw Mac Jones last night. They make tackles. They can do that. Quarterbacks can do that. No matter your celebrity on that side of it. I was thinking about this thing, though. A lot of talk about the ownership and about what George Payton should do. You know, Zach Stevens told us on Tuesday that he thinks that Vic's going to be back, Pat's going to be back, Teddy's going to be back, and we're running this thing back, essentially, which just absolutely sucks, in my opinion. If I had to pick of the three of those guys that I want back, I'm going to say Teddy. And I am not a Teddy guy at this stage. I'm not an anti-Teddy guy. I'm just not a Teddy guy. But I would say, yeah, you got to get rid of Vic. You got to get rid of Pat. But that's not where we're going. If I were George Payton, first thing I'm doing, and I really like Byron Leftwich, I am moving on from Vic Fangio and Pat Shurmur. I'm going to see if I can keep Mike Munchak as my offensive line coach. I'm calling Byron Leftwich. I think that as an offensive coordinator for Tampa Bay, I know he's got Tom Brady, but I think that they've done a lot of crafty things, man. I mean, they've done some really interesting things with that offense. I know the last time out for Tampa, they didn't look good. But that coach or a coach like him, I'm calling a younger guy, and I'm calling an offensive-minded guy. I'm kind of at this stage now where we've seen defensive-minded guys, because Vance Joseph was a defensive guy. Vic was a defensive guy. Gary was an offensive guy. Was John Fox more of a defensive guy? He was kind of more of an old school guy. He was a head coach in the league for a while. He was kind of a mix, right? I think he was. McDaniels was an offensive guy, but the problem with that is you gave him everything. You gave him the keys to the city at 34. You basically said, I want you running everything. And we all know that Pat Bowlen was probably going through his health stuff at that point. But Josh McDaniels was given the keys, general manager and coach. That was way too much for him at that stage. I still think he's going, if he ever wants to be head coach, I still think he'll be a good one. He may be just riding it out, waiting for Belichick to be done. But I'd like to see Denver go the offensive route. Get a younger coach that's never coached before. It's a new era, new regime. That is my first mission. I'm Pat Shurmur. I'm sitting Vic Fangio down, and I'm saying, Vic, we like you. Again, this is all assuming they don't go to the playoffs and go deep. And some of the hooligans are even like, hey, if they squeeze in, I'm still not sure I want to go with Vic. Because I think there's talent on this team, and they just underachieved. So I'm assuming the worst here. I'm sitting down, and I'm moving on from Vic. And, of course, Vic, you can take your Pat with you. I'm going to see if I can keep Mike Munchak on as my O-line coach. But then the rest, I'm going to hire an offensive-minded coach. And I'm going to interview Byron Leftwich, if I can spit that out. I'm going to interview him. I'm going to interview a few different offensive-minded guys and see if maybe, you know, we can get a good Eric Bieniemy. That's another name that keeps coming out. Although he keeps getting snuffed. I mean, jobs are not, he's getting interviews, but never getting a job. And you're wondering what's going on are a bunch of teams just thinking he's not head coach material or what? But either way, I'm interviewing guys like that. Young coordinators that have not been head coaches in the league just yet. Because I'm wanting to grow. It's time to turn the page on this hiring. You know, they tried it with Vance. It didn't work out. That doesn't mean you don't try it again. I feel like Elway did that. Like, he would go, all right, I'm going to hire Vance Joseph. Oh, young coach, didn't work? Okay, we're going to go the opposite. We're going to hire a first-time head coach, but he's 60. We drafted a quarterback in the first round of Paxton Lynch. Didn't work out. We're never going to go that route again. So that's what I'm doing. Bye-bye, Vic. Bye-bye, Pat. Set up the interview process. I want offensive coordinators in. I want young offensive coordinators that have never been a head coach before. And I'm talking to them. I am not re-signing Teddy Bridgewater. I am going to, and then depending on who my head coach is, the question is, can you work with Drew Lock for 1 year if he's the guy? Or do we need to go, you know what, to the wall and make sure in the draft or free agency we get a guy for you? I like hiring a coach and then finding your quarterback. You think Carson Strong's a guy we can work with? It's not for me. It's a lot of work. Okay. More on free agent side. What about Drew Lock? Because he's going to be there next year. Yes, I'm saying I'd rather keep Drew Lock at this stage than Teddy. But I also am saying that maybe Drew needs to be the backup, depending on what you do. Don't mind that at all. I just think the Teddy experiment, I guess the case could be made. You keep Teddy as the backup. You move on from Drew. Or you keep both, and you still draft a quarterback because they're both, you know, Drew would be on contract. Teddy would have to re-sign. But those are my big things. And I know those are obvious things, but in the NFL, it's about your quarterback. It's about your head coach. And neither one of those things are working right now for Denver. You know, 5-5. Again, it's weird to say it with the record, but that's kind of where you sit. Have an opportunity for sure, but I think that if this team gets in, it's going to be that the talent on this team just flat out comes up with monster plays. You know, it's going to take interceptions and sacks and forced fumbles and run back for touchdowns, things like that, in order for this team to squeeze in, which, again, it's possible. The Chargers don't look like the world beater that they did at the beginning of the season. certainly a bit different. Football Friday continues, but I do want to shout out to Norfolk Iron and Metal. There's no secret that the hiring market is incredibly competitive. Norfolk Iron and Metal, like many others, are looking for members to join their team. Visit their website at norfolkiron.com or call their Greeley location at 970-352-6722. Let's all everybody get back to work. It's time to get back to work. And you want to work at a respectable place, a place that has a wonderful reputation in Norfolk Iron and Metal. Find out why your next job should be at Norfolk Iron and Metal. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. If you're just joining us, it's Football Friday, but the Colorado State Rams on the basketball side, they did play Bradley at 11 o'clock this morning. They were down big at the half. Well, fairly big for them. Came back, ended up winning 66-60. Was it pretty? No, it wasn't. But thanks in part to David Roddy and his 30-point performance, the Rams are moving on in that tournament. They grabbed win number 4, now 4-0 on the season. All right, when we come back, Colorado State at Hawaii this weekend. Tomorrow, can they get a desperately needed win? And what would the win mean for Steve Addazio and company? We'll talk about it next. It's The Whole Show, powered by PDC Energy, on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
The Good Afternoon Guy with Brian Gary is coming up at 3 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Cody Rourke from the Locked On Broncos podcast, part of the Locked On NFL Network. Make sure that you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA for the latest news in Broncos country.
The Colorado State Rams are in Hawaii. Well, the football team is. Basketball team's at St. Thomas. Tropical. It's tropical week for Colorado State. The Rams are 3-7, looking to finish the season off with some positives. Easy. I know if you ask questions about positives, we get mad. But this would be a big one. This would be not a big one. Listen, it wouldn't be a big one in terms of the season. The season's done. All of your goals, bowl game, rivalry wins, conference championship game, all your goals are done. You didn't complete any of them. But you do have a chance to beat Hawaii and get a fourth victory on the season. And then you have Nevada to end this thing, and you know, that's not looking too promising. It's your last game of the season, just a home game. But you can at least go out swinging, go down swinging, and I think there will be a respect factor there. Not that everything is fixed if you beat Hawaii. Hawaii is typically a pretty good team at home. I'm looking at their home schedule here. Okay, so they beat Portland State 49-35. They lost to San Jose State at home 17-13. They were in the game. They remember the upset. They upset Fresno State at home 27-24. And they beat New Mexico State 48-34 at home. They lost to San Diego State at home just 17-10. So they've had two home losses. And one of those was one of the best teams in the country in San Diego State. I'm not feeling too optimistic about this one, to be honest. You know, when I look at, I know the time travel and all that time travel, the plane trip and the time change, all that stuff, it's something Hawaii has to do half of their season. I think it's interesting that we always say, oh, man, it's really going to hurt CSU. They're traveling to Hawaii. It's always an equalizer. Hawaii has to do it 50% of the year. They got to travel into the States. It's the same trip, right? So I'm a little worried about this one. You know, against San Diego State, they didn't do a lot right, but they did kind of hang in the game. And it wasn't an absolute shellacking. 27-13. It's not a gigantic blowout. I mean, that's a couple of scores. And they hung in early. I mean, they were up 10-7. Game was tied 10-10 at the half. And San Diego State scored 10 in the third to Hawaii's nothing. So that kind of helped them drift away into this one. But Cordero, the quarterback, he's had some games where he's looked all right. He's not going to absolutely dominate you, but he's had some games. You know, and some of those wins, you know, let's see, looking at the most recent win for them, New Mexico State, he was 16 to 25, 277 yards and a touchdown and a pick. So, I defensively for the Rams, they're just going to have to be disciplined. This defensive line has to get back to where they were at the beginning of the season. All offseason, all we could talk about was how this defensive line was going to lead this program. And really, they did for a good portion of the season, but in this losing streak for the Rams, they have not been nearly as good as they were at the beginning. And that's, you know, they have to be perfect in order for the Rams to win. And they haven't been. They've now lost four games in a row. If you are going to fizzle to the point where you lose the final six games of the season, I mean, those are big conversations to have. That's when Joe Parker sits down with Steve Addazio, and if he's not firing you, he's basically saying, "Hey, Steve, the last six games, I think they play Michigan to start the season next year. So you could argue that they go on a seven-game losing streak, ending this season and into next." That's where, if you're Joe Parker, if you're not going to fire him, you're basically saying, "Hey, this is the deal. We cannot struggle out of the gates. We have to put wins together quickly." I mean, I don't have the schedule in front of me, but I was going over it yesterday during our college football kickoff show with Chris Abshire, the Colorado one. And that home schedule is not attractive. And it's less attractive when you're not a winning football team. So, This is an important game because you got to break up that lot. You don't want to lose your final six. I don't see how they're beating Nevada, even though it's at home. I mean, Nevada still technically is kind of in the mix in this thing. If San Diego State and Fresno State drop games this week, I think Fresno State plays, then they got a shot. So they'll probably, either way, they're going to be playing for something. They want to just have a better record. They're 7-3, so they're going to a bowl game. But if, you know, again, if Fresno State, San Jose, something happens, they've got a legitimate shot to win the Mountain West side of things and get into the championship game. So this is your chance. This is your final shot. And the Rams go into it favored as 2.5-point favorites. Desperation time. It doesn't solve a lot of things, but it at least stops the bleeding, I think. Stops the bleeding, but you're still really injured here. You lose this one, and those talks are going to ramp up big time. And I think he's coming back. I just feel like they're going to give him that full look, three seasons at least, including, well, 2.5 or whatever you want to call it. I think they'll give him next season. I was asked the other day, how hot is his seat at this stage? Well, I personally think he's back next year, regardless of Hawaii, Nevada. But at that stage, then you look at it and go, what's the leash like? Can you start 0-4 in non-conference? You can. Because I don't think you're going to hire a new coach or promote within to start conference play. I think if you jump out of the gates, though, and you're 0-2 in the conference, you're like 0-6, then you're probably done. And then it's at that point, you've already lost. You're not going to achieve anything that you're trying to achieve. I think they play Wyoming at home, which that'll be a good one at least, but the home schedule is not that attractive. 33 minutes after the hour. Before we break, shout out to On the Rocks Liquor. They're always providing our game beer of the week. They got free wine and beer tastings going on Fridays. But today, Brian Gary, the Good Afternoon Guy, is going to be out at On the Rocks Liquor live and on location. Here's why you need to know that. Here's why you need to stop by. First off, they're going to be giving away stuff every 15 minutes today. How about that? During the remote, 3 to 5, when Brian is live and on location, that every 15 minutes, they're going to give away four-packed mixed drinks every 15 minutes. Yeah, Susan and Cheryl can really appreciate that, obviously. That, but our ultimate prize, it's the KFK Cash for Christmas. You have to sign up at all four of these locations for your chance to win $1,000. Grand champion wins $1,000, local odds. Second place wins $500. Third place wins $300. But the only way you got a chance to win is you got to stop by On the Rocks Liquor. Do it today. Stop by today. Why not? On your way home, take the day off early. say hi to Brian, have an autograph signed, and then we can have fun. And you could sign up for your chance to win $1,000. Also, write these other locations down. Rule 105 Brewing, formerly Broken Plow, if those of you have not been in yet. The Tavern at St. Michael Square. And brand new books. It's not a new bookstore. It's a used bookstore. But I love the fact that we have this in Greeley. It is the Midnight Oil Bookstore in downtown Greeley. Those are our four locations. So you need to write those down and go to every one of them. On the Rocks, you can register today, but honestly, they're going to have their sled there throughout the process, throughout the next couple of weeks, where you can still register, because Brian's going to pull a contestant out today of that sled, and then that person's going to have a 1 in 5 shot of winning $1,000 today, whoever he pulls out of that sled today. But the cool thing is, you can register at all these locations, even after their remotes, because Brian, at our final remote, is going to pull out one final contestant, so you'll have five. A fifth person, so keep signing up, and then the winner will be the one out of five shot to win $1,000. It's pretty sweet. You got a realistic opportunity. 35 minutes after the hour, we're going to take a short break, and we got into the Broncos a lot. They're on the bye week. Let's look at this. Ed McCaffrey's first year. He's got one more game left, and let's talk about that coming up, and you know what you'd like to see from this team going forward. What were your expectations this year? Three wins? That's what they got. Maybe they can get four. We'll talk about that next. 36 minutes after the hour. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. Let's get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
Hi, I'm Darren Dunn, Director of Athletics at the University of Northern Colorado, and you're listening to the whole show, 1310 KFKA.
Such a fun time of year, man. You got the NFL rolling, college football, college basketball, professional basketball, hockey, the Avs going at it with the Kraken tonight. I mean, there's always great things going on this time of year. I love it. It makes me just think of how much we all love sports. If you're listening to this show, you absolutely love sports. No Limit Collectibles is where you go to strengthen that habit. You got your office set up, your man cave set up, your home office, whatever, kids' rooms. No Limit Collectibles has got the memorabilia you need. Some of the greatest items, and my guy Ken Yamada, I mean, he's at a show in Chicago right now. This guy is always moving and shaking, getting new products in. Basketball cards, football cards. Get those latest rookie cards out. I mean, they get on top of it. They also have Pokemon collections. I know it's different for a sports show, but you guys have kids, some of you. And they like that stuff, man. Pokemon's a big deal. No Limit Collectibles. That is awesome. And they just moved their new location. They're in Greeley, Colorado now. You know, you guys know where Cables is located. They're in that same little square where Cables is in West Greeley. So stop by No Limit Collectibles and check out what they have to offer. Tell them we sent you here from the whole show powered by PDC Energy. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. Don't forget, we have picks coming up. I was above 500 all season. The last 2 weeks have been rough for me. I'm 20-23. We are looking for a big bounce back weekend. So I'll have that coming up at the end of the show. As for one of the games we'll be looking at, we'll be picking UNC taking on Weber State. The UNC Bears are 3-7 in Ed McCaffrey's first year as a Division I head coach. Yes, he was a coach last year, but didn't play any games. So I'm saying first year. They're going to Weber State, who's 5-5, 4-3 in the conference. Maybe. I mean, that was one on the schedule I looked at. This has been a brutal schedule. And again, I know it's the conference for UNC, but this Big Sky Conference is maybe collectively one of the best it's looked in a long time. And now you're hoping to finish the season off. This is their final game. Hoping to finish the season off on a great note. We had a chance all season to talk to Dylan McCaffrey throughout the course of the year leading up to this. And I know it wasn't the ideal season for Dylan either. I mean, man, against the Buffs, that very first game of the season, I thought, oh my goodness, look out. You know, UNC played the Buffs pretty well, I thought. They were a couple of weird penalties away from hanging in. They lose 35-7, but I thought the offense was moving the ball. They looked okay. Then you came out the next week, you beat Houston Baptist 45-13. You get that first win for head coach Ed McCaffrey. They lose to Lamar in overtime, and that was a disappointing one for them. They lost 17-10. They came back the very next week and went to overtime against Northern Arizona, and they won that time. And that was a weird, remember? Dylan throws it, it goes through a receiver's hands, and then pops into another receiver's hands, and it's a touchdown, game over. Or no, they had to get the stop, that's right. Fourth and one on the other side, and this defense had to get the stop. Then the hard game started to come in. We looked at that schedule, and we said Montana State and Eastern Washington, UC Davis, three in a row that are going to be tough, and they were. Montana State wins big, 40-17. Eastern Washington clobbers them, 63-17. UC Davis clobbers them, 32-3. Then they come back and they beat Southern Utah, 17-9. And they've lost their last two games since. Sac State, close game. I picked that to be a loss for the Bears, but they did keep it close. It was somewhat close. They lose to Montana, 35-0. That's the last we've seen of the Bears looking to finish this thing off. It was kind of a strange start for Coach McCaffrey. You know, he gets his first head coaching job after 2 years of high school football experience at Valor. And granted, they won a championship there. But I don't know that McCaffrey was like on the big-time radar for UNC for a while. I feel like it just kind of happened. And then here we are. It's exciting because McCaffrey's one of Denver's favorite sons, right? He's one of the most popular Broncos. Still to this day, Ed McCaffrey is one of the most popular Denver Broncos to ever do it. I'm not sure why he's not in the Ring of Fame. Well, then you get to your spring game last year. And the night before the spring game, Dave Baldwin, who was his offensive coordinator, kind of his mentor in football for a while, they decide to part ways right before the spring game, like the night before. Baldwin moves on. And McCaffrey takes over as the offensive coordinator. But then his son, Max McCaffrey, kind of gets that title. But in the press conference at the start of the season, Ed said he was still going to be the one calling the plays. Dylan transfers from Michigan, arguably the biggest transfer the Bears have ever seen. And I know Dylan said, hey, he's excited to get back next year. And I think that that's where I am with UNC this year. I kind of like, this was it. Get it out on the field. See what you got. First year. And this isn't like Adazio. Adazio's had experience as a head coach, a lot. This is a brand new world for Ed McCaffrey. All the recruiting and, you know, recruiting while you're coaching and all that stuff. It's a completely new world. So that's what this year was about. Next year is when you start evaluating this team. Dylan will have another year. So I'll be very interested to follow along with this crew next year. They get three wins. They could get four. Keep in mind, in Ernest Collins Jr.'s tenure with the Bears, I think he coached about 10 years, didn't he? He had two seasons of six wins, and the rest were like two wins, one win, three win. They were bad. So if the Bears can walk out of this thing at 4-7, I think you look at that as an absolute win based on where your program was the last few years. You can actually turn, even 3-8, I don't think you look at it as a win. I think you look at it and say, hey, because I went into the season and I said, my expectations are 3-4 wins. 3-4, that's what they're at right now, with a chance to go beat Weber State on Saturday. And of course, you'll get to hear that game right here on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFK. Also, 1310KFK.com. 47 minutes after the hour, short break. We got picks coming up next. I'm looking at Air Force Nevada, CSU Hawaii, Washington CU, and UNC Weber State. We'll get to the picks next.
Broadcaster Jerry Schemmel, this season for UNC basketball coverage on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Jeff Linder, head men's basketball coach of the University of Wyoming Cowboys, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Wrapping up another Football Friday here, a Bronco-less Football Friday. So we're just going to put the focus on all things college football. And, you know, I always make my picks from the local standpoint, and I have added Air Force to the mix because of due to popular demand. We wanted to get Air Force in this thing. So without further ado, Michael, let's get into it. The picks for the weekend. You got the UNC Bears on their final game of the season going to Weber State. It's winnable. Do I think the Bears pull this thing off. Unfortunately, I do not. I do not have a spread. But I don't think the Bears win, and I think they end the season at 3-8. And you turn the page, and you just hope for a more productive season next year for Ed McCaffrey and company. The Colorado Buffaloes play host to Michael's second favorite team in the Washington Huskies. The Buffs are 6.5-point dogs in this one. I'm going to say this. I think the Buffs win. I'm not even taking the points. I like the Buffs to win at home. It's senior day. Yeah, Brendan Lewis has been playing better. That second half against UCLA was bad, but I like the Buffs in this one. CSU on the road at Hawaii. They are 2.5-point dogs, or favorites, excuse me. The Rams are 2.5-point favorites. I do not like this game at all for Colorado State. Unfortunately, I am taking Hawaii to win over CSU. And we don't have to worry about covering. I think Hawaii wins. Finally, Air Force at Nevada. Air Force on the road at Nevada is a 1-point favorite in this game. And dare I say I'm starting to drink a little bit of that Air Force Kool-Aid? I think Air Force covers and wins this game. I absolutely love Air Force in this game, and that shatters Nevada's chances. Although it was going to be a long shot anyway, but that shatters their chance of a Mountain West Conference championship game. So there you go. The picks are in. I've got them posted on social media. I like Weber State over UNC. I like CU over Washington. I like Hawaii over CSU. And I like Air Force to win and cover over Nevada. You're welcome, everybody. I'm going to be out at On the Rocks Liquor saying hello to Brian Gary, the Good Afternoon Guy, at 3 o'clock. Stop by. Say hi. You're going to win something. I guarantee you're going to get come close anyway to winning something cool. Good night, Northern Colorado.